podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast and another stat show. We're keeping up our running streak of Liverpool winning games and stat shows getting done. I know we haven't done one for a while, but we're back with another one. And what a game it was. And of course, I'm joined by Mike from Opta. Mike, how are you doing?
Yeah, heart rate's just about come down after Sunday. So I've recovered. I'm doing all right.
And especially working that game, like, it must be mad, like, just constantly just seeing what stats are happening and whatever, and the game's happening.
Having to have your work head on while Liverpool are going 3-2 down at home to Fulham is not easy.
No, it's one of them where it's like you move on for it and you try and fix the deficiencies with the defence and whatever. But the winning the game was the big thing, especially like with the City going on to draw, and of course Arsenal continuing to march on. So we needed to keep pace with them, but a mad game. And I just thought we'd start then, because there's quite a few niche ones, and I know a few shouts on social media because the Biscan one's too good not to talk about, which we'll get to in a bit, don't worry. I needed to talk about Igor Biscan at some point on this show, so it's gonna happen. But the stats you sent me over were, I think you could see like Liverpool in terms of like big chances and stuff, and of course possession and passes, we're always going to have we're going to be dominant in those areas, but I think having the big chances and converting those big chances, I think, was something that we need to get better at, especially going into games when you've got United coming up, we've got Arsenal coming up. When those big chances present themselves, we need to start putting them away, because in those tighter games, I say United game's going to be tighter, it won't be, we should batter them again, but Arsenal game especially, those type of games, like you need to be making the chances count, don't you, basically?
Yeah, because that's the sort of key takeaway from the stats of the game. Liverpool had obviously won 4-3, but had far more shots, 26 shots to Fulham's 9. Shots on target, 12 to 5. 12 is a lot of shots on target in one game. Touches in the box, 40 to 16. XG, 2.2 to 1.2. So Liverpool were value for the win. It's just the way they got it was a bit scary for us all. But yeah, the big chances, Liverpool had 4. Didn't score any, and obviously Klopp talked about how all 4 goals were worldies in the end, or albeit one eventually given an own goal, but 4 big chances, didn't score, whereas Fulham had 2 big chances, scored them both, and that's what put Liverpool under pressure. So yeah, you're right, in an ideal world, we need to start, when we get 4 big chances, not necessarily score 4, but at least get 2 of them in, and it just makes a game go from scary and needing late winners and a comeback, it'd have been a much more comfortable win had we just taken those chances.
Yeah, I think the Nunes one, again, I think if he just takes, he likes to get through and absolutely well it as hard as he can. I think if he takes 10% off that, he might hit the bar and go in, he might hit the top of the net. It's just, and I think the Salah one, which we just were talking about before we started recording, I think that's one that, again, he's similar to Nunes and he gets loads of chances for himself, and I guess he puts most of them away, and that's why he's one of the best in the world. But I feel like that one, I think when that one didn't go in for me, that's when I was really thinking it's just not going to be our day. And if Salah's in no positions and he can't score them, then it's like you're starting to think maybe it's just going to be one of those days, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I said to you before we started recording, I don't think Salah has ever been actually a ridiculously clinical finisher. If you look at finishers Liverpool have had in the past, Sturridge was an unbelievable finisher. I don't think Salah's that calibre in terms of the quality of his finishing. He just is so good at getting so many good quality chances that he scores more than anybody else, other than obviously Haaland at the minute in the league. So that's why he's such a good goal scorer. It isn't because he's a Son Heung-min who's really clinical when he gets a chance. He's just one of those where he gets so many chances, he's bound to put some away. And yeah, the one at the weekend, he'll be disappointed he didn't score it himself, especially when he's chasing all the records. He's won away from 200 goals. Obviously, Sapp would have put him on 200 as well, which he will be in his mind, by the way. He's that kind of player where that record will be in his head that he wants to get to 200 goals. I'm sure, certain of that. And the Nunez one, it's hard when, obviously none of us can run faster than Nunez, but you know when you've played football yourself, when you're running full pelt, how hard it is to control any sort of pass, control, shot, anything you are trying to do when you're running at full pace is hard. I think that's what's happened there. He was just running so fast that all he could do was put his foot through it. It's actually a good strike.
It is a good strike.
Really, it's just come off the bar. There's not a lot more different I don't think he would have done if you'd have given him that shot again. Because when you're running full pelt, you can't exactly control your shot that well, like I say. So I think you can more than let him off for that, to be honest, because of that sort of the fact that he was running so fast.
Yeah, and like you said, no one is quite as quick as Darwin Nunez. He is a proper road runner once he gets going. Like, he's ridiculous, yeah. Isn't he? And we can talk about the goals and stuff. And I mean, the goal for the Trent for the first one. I think we can just talk about Trent as a collective at this moment, because I think like the first one, again, it's harsh, but it wouldn't have went in if it hadn't it hit Leno technically. But then his second, in inverted commas, to win the game for us was just, again, it was him getting pushed into midfield. Gomez comes on. He's kind of, shackles were took off, I guess, in terms of bringing Endo onto the field, allowing him to go even further forward. And yeah, just some of the stats that Opta provided LFC on it, and like his stats and then the breakdown and LFC rank. And you could just see how influential he was in this game, but how influential he's becoming. I know everyone's like linking it to the Preds and whatever, and it's a laugh and whatever, because it was saying since he's like put the Preds on, he's Gerrard and whatever. But like, he has in recent games, he's starting to up the tempo in terms of him just picking the ball up from deep and running with it and trying to make stuff happen. And I love seeing that type of stuff from him. And I think you can see from the stats that it was very clear that he was all over the place in terms of, in the best possible way, all over the field.
Doing everything. Yeah. I tweeted something similar against Man City, because against Man City the week before, he was top for possession one, passes into the final third and duels. He's really getting involved again. And obviously he scored in that game. It's actually the first time he's scored in back-to-back Premier League games, by the way. But again, against Fulham, he was top for possession one for Liverpool, top for passes in the final third. He was second for shots, which isn't something we're used to seeing with him. Top for dribbles, which that's really not something he normally does. But he's got this ability now, I think. He's found this ability to run past players, which is not something I don't think he's necessarily had in his arsenal for his whole career. But he's finding that, and I don't know if that's this sort of new role that he's playing has given him more opportunity to do that. But yeah, second for passes as well, second for how far he ran in the game. I think at this moment in time, he's certainly one of the top 10 players in the world, how well he's playing just as an all-round player. Because the varied stats that we're showing there, he's not just top for passes and shooting and things, he's top for possession one. So he's actually recovering the ball back for Liverpool so often. And he's just sort of doing everything. It's almost like he's taken people comparing Szoboszlai to Gerrard personally and said, no, hang on. that's me. I'm the Scouser. Vice-captain, going to be captain. And he's just brilliant to watch at the minute, and long may it continue.
Yeah, I think the dribble one's interesting. Like I said, he has got the ability now to pick it up and blast away from people. I know, like, in that, when he was, I guess, in more of that right back position, it's a bit more rigid in terms of, you've only got one way to, I mean, you could cut inside and use his left foot, which is just as good as his right foot in certain moments. It's ridiculous. But he's got like this more expansive space where he can burst from. And I think I'm loving seeing that from him. I think,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to have to rely on him doing that all of the time, because I think we relied on Gerrard for doing that for over 10 years. We don't want to have to just solely rely on him to get us out the shit. But if he's got those capabilities and he's put into those positions even more, especially if we're chasing a game like we were, and you bring on a Gomez and you can allow him to go fully full throttle and make those type of dribbles, then it's boss to see. It really is. The game was, again, like we said, it was just a bit of a crazy one. We got 1-0 up, it's 1-1, 2-2, 2-1, 2-2, could be 3-2 offside in that mad space that was like the 12 minutes of added on time first half. But the McAllister one, and of course then the Endo one, is interesting because you posted the start, and we have to come to Igor Biscan at this moment in time. It's Igor Biscan and Xabi Alonso, but the start is just, again, I've just got that I've got that Snoop meme on red on just ready for you, like this motherfucker don't miss. I've just got that ready for you whenever you post anything. I'm just ready with the quote
tweets. Oh dear. I do appreciate that. That's, it does make me laugh every time I see that one. But yeah, so basically because McAllister and Endo obviously both scored from outside the box and it was their first Premier League goal. I know Endo's got one in Europa League, but first Premier League goal. So the last time two Liverpool players scored their first Premier League goal for Liverpool from outside the box in the same game was also against Fulham, weirdly enough, one of them weird coincidences in 2004, the 04-05 season at Craven Cottage. Liverpool were actually 2-0 down in that game, won 4-2. And Xabi Alonso and Igor Biscan both scored their first Premier League goals and both were outside the box. Alonso was a free kick and Biscan was sort of a late goal breaking down. It was only just outside the box, actually. I watched it back the other day after I posted it and it was just about outside the box. It's a weird one where of all the players to get into a start, Igor Biscan's probably not top of your list where he's going to be breaking many records, but it's just a little niche one that means nothing, but it's just an interesting one that a lot of people quite like on Twitter anyway.
Yeah, I think, was it last week you had Dan Hutchinson? And then you've got Igor Biscan. So, yeah. I mean, it is mad some of the, like, yeah, it is. It's just weird, like, that one and, like, the Fulham link and whatever. It is mad the way sometimes, like, these things just repeat themselves in a weird way. But yeah, and the other one that I loved is the distance the ball travels. So like McAllister's shot was the longest by a Premier League in a Premier League game for a Liverpool player since a certain Divock Origi. I know you said before we started recording, like it's not a fine art the distance on it, but it's just one of them that is. I mean, people love, and I love it as well, especially.
It's longest range for a player's first goal for Liverpool since Origi, which a few people actually got confused in. People saying, what about Salah's against Man City that was miles out or things like that, but that wasn't his first Liverpool goal, obviously. Yeah. So for a first goal, basically longest range first goals is what the tweet was sort of about, and Origi's was a massively deflected one, which is why it was so long range and the ball travelled so far. So McAllister's on record so to have distance from 2006-07. It's actually the sixth furthest for a player's first Premier League goal for Liverpool. This was 26.8 yards. Like you just said, it's not really that precise the sort of distance it's at, because you've got to know the length of every pitch. Every Premier League pitch is a different length, so it might look a certain distance from goal and be a bit different. So it's not too precise. But the top six are Origi's top, actually, in that time for that 32.5 yards, that one. And then there's John Joe Shelby scored against Chelsea, Emery Chan against Chelsea, and Jermaine Pennant against Chelsea. They're the others in the top four. Then Daniel Agger, which is a memorable goal against West Ham, his first goal. And then McAllister in sixth, for furthest out for a first goal. So if not so how many people will remember those goals, a few of them more memorable than others. But some nice goals in there anyway, and some lucky ones.
Yeah, I think when you sent me over that, I was like, instantly you think of Pennant and you think of Agger, because the Pennant one was a lovely little chest and then volley barring in. Agger one was just ridiculous, you're just like, this fella's like not just the Rolls Royce with the ball and the great left foot, he's all can also score from ridiculous levels. But I think I guessed for the, I think I said for the I think I expected the Cham one to be Watford. I was thinking it can't be because it wasn't his first goal. So it's it's getting confused with that bit. But and that kind of links into another one that you posted. And you mentioned John Joe Shelby against Chelsea. The first time Liverpool have scored plus four games without a forward scoring. And back in May 2012, again, another one that, it's just quite niche, but again, it's just because it's so niche and it's mad. It's a good one as well.
Well, I just thought, you know, the amount of times when I go on LFC TV, Neil Mellor says to it all the time. He always goes like, oh, it's always our forward scoring. We never get a midfielder getting the goals or a defender. Whereas in this game, we didn't actually have one of the strikers score. And I thought, when did we last score four goals? And I'm actually trying to think in my head, without like Salah or Firmino or Mane getting on the score sheet, or more recently Diaz or Jota. So I had a look, and yeah, it was Chelsea, May 2012, after the FA Cup final, 4-1 win. Essien own goal, John Henderson, Jonjo Shelvey, which is one of them, which is the link between the long range, because it was his first goal, and it was the second longest range by a player's first Premier League goal on record for Liverpool. And Danny Lager again in that game. So he was well into his Liverpool career by that stage. But yeah, so that was the last time. I'm quite glad. It's sort of good in a way that we didn't have to rely on the forwards to get the goals. If players like McAllister and Alexander Arnold, you're not expecting them to score worldies every game. Like, to be honest, if McAllister's planning on shooting from there every game, I think Klopp will tell him to not do that, because, you know, XG's a thing now, and we know that they're very unlikely to be scored, those kind of chances. But it's great for the crowd to see them fly into the top corner, and it'll be a goal he remembers for the rest of his life, that's for sure. It was an absolute beauty. So, yeah, another niche but nice little stat.
Yeah, because I think instantly everyone after the game's then thinking, like, when's the last time like four belters were in the same game? I think it's like the easy one to think of is Suarez, isn't it, against Norwich, where he scores four, and it's just like, yeah, it was mad, like when the first one goes in and the second one, and then taking the shot, like the Endo one was just, again, having the balls to hit that. I think in itself, when you're down in the game, that shot needs to go in with the clock ticking, is a massive one. And I think, and at that point as well, especially 3-2, there's another start that they sent over, like it was the latest that we'd went behind in a Premier League match and went on to win. And I think that's a good one to finish on, because I think it shows that we had some defensive frailties in the match, definitely, and we could have been a lot better. But it also, I think, feeds into the notion about this like rejuvenated and reinvigorated Liverpool, like showing a bit of mentality. And it could have easily went the other way. We could have easily drew that game or potentially lost that game the way it was going. But to have the character to get back in the game and to win it, it was massive, especially the way we're going this season.
I think you just said it there. I think that the character's the thing, because last season I don't think we'd have won that game. No, in fact, I'm certain we wouldn't have won that game. So that is a massive step forward in terms of where we are compared to this time last year, a year ago. So 80th minute, we fell behind Bobby Reid scoring. And we thought, oh my God, we're going to lose at Anfield here, only the second time in front of a crowd in like 6-7 years. So that was the latest Liverpool had ever fallen behind in a game in the Premier League. So from 1992, and then won. The previous record I told you before, Mick, was against Portsmouth 2009, if people remember that, 3-2 win. Torres header in the 91st minute, but Liverpool fell behind in the 78th minute in that game, and then managed to come back to win it. So it broke that record. So it's very, it doesn't happen often, but you can afford to go behind that late on in a game and come from behind. So respect to players for managing to do it and not giving it up at any stage. But if they can avoid going behind that late on in games, in fact, just avoid going behind, lads, it would be, certainly when I'm working, it would be a major help for my heart.
I know, ideally. Yeah, I love that one, because I think the when you said the Portsmouth straight away, I was just like, I don't know if it's just because I'm just a nerd, and I just knew straight away it was Torres there, and I could see it straight. I could see that goal straight away. But yeah, I think Liverpool, it was a massive win. It's one of them, like I said earlier, like the win was all we needed, but the performance is sort of left a little bit to be desired, and it's something that we can work on, especially when we go into Bramall Lane tomorrow. What are your thoughts going on into that then? Because we haven't done a show for a couple of weeks in Liverpool. Like I said, they're in a decent position. We're only 2 points off Arsenal after 14 games. City are 1 point behind. You've got Aston Villa 2 points behind. So I think when we done a show earlier in the season, or before the season started, we were kind of discussing like what this Liverpool is capable of, and we didn't really know, and unknown quantity, and all those words. And I think the more the weeks go on, you're seeing, I mean, not having Alisson was, again, is massive, and it will continue to be so until he's back. But
yeah.
I think Liverpool's still getting on over the line in games, and only being 2 points off the top after 14 games is a far cry from the start of last season, where I think we only had, I think it was 20 points after 14 games. So,
yeah,
a massive improvement, and the work that we've done in terms of transfers and stuff and having to make those transfers in midfield, I think, is a massive, it's a massive testament to the work we've done and the work we're continuing to do.
Yeah, I think we'll ultimately find out a lot more now over this period. Now there's no more international breaks. There's no more. There's only one more Europa League game, and it's a dead rubber for Liverpool. We're already top of the group, so we can literally rest everybody, and it won't matter. So I think now over these next few weeks until the FA Cup starts in January, teams will really start to have more of an idea of where teams are going to be fighting at the end of the season. I actually think this period now for Liverpool, Sheffield United on tomorrow and Palace on Saturday, which is a Wednesday, Saturday lunchtime turnaround, by the way, which is a bit rubbish, especially away at Palace. That's a tough place to go. So it's not ideal. But if Liverpool can come through this period and still be up there, then maybe you can start to be a bit more optimistic in terms of, right, this team can challenge for a title, especially with, you know, Thiago to come back. Hopefully Jota in the new year would come back, players like that. But yeah, obviously we've just had the announcement with Sheffield United that they've brought in Chris Wilder and sacked Paul Heckingbottom, which I think everyone sort of knew was coming. So typically they get a new manager bounce, and with Wilder having been there before, I think Bramall Lane will be really up for that. He's loved in Sheffield, really. Well, certainly the United half of Sheffield, maybe not the Wednesday half, but yeah, he's loved there. He's well remembered there. He got them to the Premier League, of course, in his first spell. Had a pretty good record, really, other than that final season where Sheffield United went down. So hopefully Liverpool's quality can override that, the fact that, you know, they've got this new manager. Bramall Lane will be absolutely bouncing under the floodlights. Kick off, it'll be a cold night again. So hopefully Liverpool can show the quality and ignore that. Certainly get through that wave of, you know, Sheffield United being really up for the game and a new manager. And to be honest, I don't really care about the performance of these next two. Sheffield United and Palace, just win them. It really doesn't matter. You're agreeing. I can see them.
Yeah. I think it's, in a way, for this game, I'm initially just drawn straight back to the Luton game. I think that's one that, in a weird way, has provided like a little bit of a dress rehearsal for some of these games that were away games that we're going to be going to, like you said, under the floodlights, freezing cold. You need to be up for it from minute one, because they will be, and I think you need to be like, you need to be matching their energy, but also showing the quality that like we've got and stuff. And I think the Luton game, we thankfully didn't lose it. I think hopefully this one is one where, like you said, it's just annoying the way like new manager comes in just before. Like, I know it's like still not ideal for them because a new guy coming in so close to having a game of footy. But
yeah,
I think it can help spur them on a little bit. And I think especially like being bottom of the league and 5 points off from 14, especially when Everton have had a 10-point deduction and they're still bottom of the league. I think they need to start getting points on the board, and they'll, I guess, be looking at the Luton game and looking like at the Fulham game and going, you can get at Liverpool if you play in this way, if you do certain things. So I think they might be looking at us and we'll be targeting those areas, and we just need to be ready for that and pouncing on them expecting us to do certain things.
Yeah, you've just got to remember that Liverpool haven't beaten a promoted team away from home since the start of last season. Even last season, there was defeats at Forest, defeat at Bournemouth and draw at Fulham. So, and then the draw with Luton this season. So we just have this thing at the minute, God knows why, against these promoted teams away from home, where we're just not managing to get over the line. And you hope that comes to an end against Sheffield United. And the other thing is, away from home in general, Liverpool, only 2 wins out of 7 this season in the Premier League away from home. Tough games, only 1 defeat as well. Been to Man City, been to Tottenham, been to Newcastle, been to Chelsea, been to Brighton. So some tough games in there, to be fair. But 2 wins out of 7, even from that run of games, if you want to win a league, isn't good enough. Because then you really are putting pressure on your home form. Like, you put pressure on that Fulham game. If that then isn't a win, then suddenly you're well behind Arsenal, because your away form is nowhere near. So that, it's massive, to be honest, these two games, Sheffield United and Palace. Let's get these away, this away form sorted out now, because then you can then start to kick on a bit more. So I think there is a lot of pressure on it, to be honest, for Liverpool. And I don't want to say that early in the season, but if you want to be a title challenging team, you have to get points in these games. Especially we know how, if Man City go ahead, they're not going to lose the league, are they? We know that. So just don't let them get ahead. And that's easier said than done, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's another point that I made on a show a couple of weeks ago about the away form. And I think, yeah, newly promoted sides, times away form recently, I think I think we're ninth in the away table. Just having a quick look, 10 points from 7, and you've got, you think Spurs are top of it, but they play one more away game, and then you've got City on 13. Arsenal play one game less, and they've already got 3 points more of us. So I think it's sort of that. I mean, in a way, it's like you can look at it and go, that can be improved upon. So it's like, yeah, I think certain facets of our performance we can definitely improve on. I think that is one that, if we go and win, like you said, by any means necessary, it doesn't even matter about the performance. A little 1-0, go into this Palace game and try and replicate that in the best way possible. I think it's just churning out those results and building on it, especially when you get a great point at City. You then get over the line in a crazy game against Fulham. You need to just, it's just about building momentum. I think we've seen that in like other forms of Liverpool sides in the past and under Klopp. Yeah. And I think that's something that, it's only early days still, of course, and where we are is still massively encouraging, but I think it's something that we need to build on to try and get where we want them to be as well, isn't it?
I totally agree. Momentum's such a massive thing, or confidence, maybe not momentum as such, but that confidence, because wins start to breed more wins from that. I mean, we've seen, like you say, we've seen that from the best Klopp teams. The one that won the league 2019-20 just kept winning games. It was just like a habit of, we will win this game. And they have that mentality where no matter what happened, because they went behind plenty of times that season and then came from behind, which we've seen a few times this season as well, which has been great, not least against Fulham. So it's just about that confidence and just knowing, coming into games knowing that no matter what happens, how the game goes, you've got a way to win the game. Like the Fulham game was a different way to win. We didn't need Salah to bail us out of jail like he does so many times. Probably he did get an assist still. So he's still involved somehow, but we managed to come back a different way. You know, Endo just getting his first Premier League goal from nowhere and things like that. You even look before Klopp, like, remember the 13-14 season where that team just won 11 in a row, the Suarez, Sturridge, Sterling team, and it was just that roll of momentum that allowed Liverpool to get to a title challenge, and that's what we need to build this season if you want to be up there. So it's exactly that. It's just the performances really aren't as important as just get the wins.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect place to leave in. And again, yeah, it's makes me a little bit more excited, but a little bit more nervous for tomorrow night as well, when you're delving into numbers and it's not good reading so far. But the only way Liverpool can fix that is by going on the field and actually doing the business, and hopefully tomorrow night's one of them where we just, doesn't matter, just forget it, just get over the performance, just get the win, any means necessary. Hopefully we don't do it. But yeah, we'll leave it there. Mike, thanks as always for jumping on. I appreciate you taking the time to jump back on. We'll have to keep up the this season, especially because I think last season we've done quite a few when Liverpool were smashing it end of last season. But if Liverpool can get, like I said, get a bit of momentum going, then these shows can just kind of roll off the tongue a little bit easier. A few more random footballers in there, like a few more ego biscans as well.
Yeah, put in the comments a name of a random player you want me to get in a stat, and I'll do my best. See if I can find a way.
Yeah. Well, that's why I love just having your number, because I'm like, if something happens, I'm like, right, it's the only way I can find out this. And I'm like, I can't. I can just text Mike and he'll tell me within like 3 seconds. But yeah, thanks, Mike, for jumping on as always. Appreciate
Cheers, mate.
And thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate the support. And yeah, we'll be back very soon with another Stats Show. And we'll see you all very soon. Ta-ra.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
Podcast Network.